Tonight, we would like to start, as we are going through the book of Colossians, kind of a study within sight of a study. We have been looking at Colossians chapters 1 through 3, and we're all the way up to verse 17. We finished verse 17 last week. Now Paul goes a whole different way. He begins to bring it into the home. And I believe that Christianity needs to be lived inside the home more than any other place. And if it can shine inside the home, it's going to shine within the world. And so we would like to look at verses 18 all the way down through chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll look at those over the next 6 weeks. But what we're going to do, and you need to bear with me, we're going to look at one verse every single Thursday night. And tonight just so happens to be that one verse on women submitting. So no one has to get up. No one leaves. All the guys are beginning to rejoice, but here's the rules. The guys need to come back next week because it's going to be worse for you guys. And because I'm a guy and I understand this. But we want to take a look at tonight just the role of really the life of submission within a woman who's married and just that word submission. And then next week we want to look at that word to a husband. And then we're going to take a look at that word to a child. My kids are 32 and 30 and been married going on 33 years. And so I think I have a little bit to say about what it is to be married and have children. And then we want to take a look at what it is to be a parent. And then I want to speak to you one night on what it is to be a father, just the heart of a father. And then one night on what it is to be a servant. And then lastly, we're going to end up what it is to be a master. In other words, you have people working under you. And so over the next 6 weeks, we want to break the study down and look at, and I kind of titled this a family affair, because really this is where Christianity needs to really work within our life. I was reminded of a story of a couple driving down the street, and they had not talked to each other for a couple days, and they were pretty upset. They were an older couple. And finally, he looks up, and he spots these two mules, and he speaks up and says, "Oh, some of your relatives." And she was quick on her feet, and she said, "Yes, on my husband's side." And so marriage is a very interesting situation. We find that someone has said that when you live your life, you're looking for that engagement ring, and then you finally get that wedding ring, and then you finally come to understand what suffering's all about. And boy, I tell you, that probably is a lot of truth. But the one thing that really has always baffled me, and kind of a fun thing, I've always wondered why Europe put the car seat or the driving seat on the right side. And every time I drive over or actually drive in London or am over in London, I just am fascinated by people driving on the wrong side of the street. And I come back here and we're on the left side and I think, you know, they're wrong and we're right. But there was a medical report done in the University of Indiana. And they have proven with an MRI that women have the capacity to hear out of both sides of their brain. But men only have the capacity to hear out of the left side of the brain. So I thought about this today. I thought, you know, no wonder we make so many mistakes with our women, because we can't hear them having the seat on the wrong side, the driver's side. So Europe is definitely more together because they have the input. And so I thought, you know, we are set up as Western men in South Bay. But all kidding aside, we want to take a good look at really the life of submission, what it means, and you have to deal with God's responsibility to you. I would say that some of you will say, well, what about the guy? And I will say right now that I believe that 95% of the men are not leading the way that God desires them to lead. And so you have a body of believers that are really outside of God's will. You see, God's will is that men would lead and women would submit, and children would be obedient, and servants would obey their masters, and masters would be gracious. And God established early in the life of the church the value of human life. And before Christianity, we find that wives and slaves had really no say-so whatsoever. And so from the very beginning of time, God has established an order. So you don't need to look around at, well, what's fair and what's not fair. That's not my desire tonight. My desire tonight is to simply tell you what the Bible has declared. And if you are doing what God is telling you to do, then your life is going to be blessed, and God is going to enrich your life in a very powerful way. We find that 80% of all the counseling done is concerning marriages. And we know that 2 out of 3 Christian marriages are falling apart and becoming divorced. So we don't have the answer because we're not living in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Unwilling to die to who we are, unwilling to be obedient to the things of God. If I was to look at statistics concerning just that area of giving, we find that 70% of the people in this fellowship do not give. So 30% of you are the ones that give. And we find that probably 90% of the people are not having a devotional life. So because of that, it brings carnality, it brings disobedience, and it causes all kinds of problems within our life. So I think the very best thing to do is to find out what God wants for your life. Now, you have heard me say over and over again that women, you need to listen because you need to make sure you don't marry the wrong guy. And I believe this more tonight than I've ever believed it in my whole life. If you truly understand what the word submission means, when you marry, you must submit. And so you need to get beyond the emotion, and you must evaluate the guy that you're dating, because you're going to be under him for the rest of your life. And you need to think about that. And though you might love him, he might be a ding-a-ling. And you might not be able to submit yourself to his authority. And even worse than that, even if he is a ding-a-ling, you need to learn to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and look over his shoulder, and you need to see Christ. So God tonight is looking at your life. And God is going to be looking at my life next week. How am I leading? Am I a strong leader? Am I willing to take the responsibility as a man? So you guys need to come. You wives need to bring your husbands, or you need to put the tape somewhere where they're going to get them somehow. But we took a look at last week, 3 great, great passages, you remember, in chapter 3. We took a look at Colossians, and we ended up with Colossians chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. And it says, and these are some of the most gracious verses in the Bible, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. And we said that it means to be an umpire. So let the peace become a umpire within your heart. Let God make the decisions for your life so you can have peace, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so thanksgiving, or a grateful attitude, comes with the peace of God in your heart. If you're striving, if you are filled with anxiety, if you are stressed out, it's going to be difficult to be thankful. But if you know that God is in control, that God is calling the shots, that God is willing to give you the peace with him and the peace of him, then you can sit back and enjoy the life that God wants you to have. And when things don't go the way that you think they should, you can have great confidence in your faith, knowing that God will not withhold one good thing from them that serve him, and that his thoughts for you are not evil, but good to an expected end. So that which he has begun, he's able to complete until that final day. And that which you have committed, he's able to keep until the coming of Christ. And so you're in good hands, not Allstate, but you're in good hands with God tonight. Allstate, let me tell you about fire. If it doesn't burn, you don't get your money, so be careful with that. Anyway, I better get off that. I'm getting all kinds of trouble. So, insurance and all that. Anyway, where was I? Verse 15. Then verse 16, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalm, hymn, spiritual song, singing with murmuring in your heart. Doesn't say that. Singing with grace in your heart and notice to the Lord. And so, underline the word in verse 15, let. And then in verse 16, would you underline the word let? So, you must let God in. He needs to become that common denominator in your life. He wants to be that umpire, and he wants to have the authority in your life. So, the peace with Christ and the word of Christ in verse 16. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then we end it in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, and this is the theme of your life and mine, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So Paul lays out in verse 15, 16, and 17, very simply, that God desires to control your life. He desires to control the peace of your heart. He desires to control the authority of your life. He desires to control the joy of your life. And so the peace of God, the word of Christ, and then in verse 17, he desires to control your thoughts. So he says here in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, and here's the key, do all in the name, and underline the word name. So in verse 15, we see let, in verse 16, let, and then verse 17, the name. So let God into your life, and you will find peace. Let God into your heart, and you will find his word. Let God into your thoughts, and you will find once again the stability that you're looking for. So we now turn to verse 18. And what I want to do is read all the way down through chapter 4, verse 1, so you kind of get a heart of where we're going to go, and then we'll come back and tear it apart. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. In other words, get off their back. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, sweeping the dirt under the mat, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. So whatever you do, you go back to verse 17, you do for the glory of God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto man. Underline the word, as unto the Lord, and not unto man. So in this relationship of wives unto the Lord, husbands unto the Lord, children unto the Lord, fathers unto the Lord, servants unto the Lord. Verse 24. Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he, the conjunction that doeth wrong, shall receive the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons with God. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye have a master in heaven. So in verse 18, underline the word wives. And then in verse 19, underline the word husbands. And then in verse 20, two words to underline, children and parents. Children and parents. And then in verse 21, underline the word father. And then in verse 22, underline the word servant. And then lastly in chapter 4, verse 1, underline the word master. And so a word to the wives in verse 18, a word to the husband in verse 19, a word to children in verse 20, and I am looking forward to speaking to you about your kids. And you have a lot of kids here, let me tell you. And then in verse 21, a word to parents, how to raise your children. And then in verses 22 through 25, a word to servants. And then lastly, a word to master. And the key of this whole section is going to be found very simply in what we've looked at in chapter 3. You remember he mentions in verses 1 through 3 that you are to be a new man, that you are to put your affection on the things above, not on the things below. So God is looking tonight to make you a new man and a new woman. So the attitude has to go. The life in the past has to go. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. God has forgiven you. He's made you brand new. Doesn't make a difference if you're Irish or Polish. In other words, God is looking for you to be what? Christ. And so because you are a new man, God is also looking to give you new clothing. And so we looked at verses 5 through 11 that we are to put off the old man. And we're to now put on the new man, which is after Christ. And so we're to be clothed in a brand new way in the righteousness of Christ. And then in verse 18, we are to have a new presence. So we are a new man with new clothing, with a new presence within our life. And notice in verse 18, he says very simply, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And I want you to take a look at the word "in the Lord." Then jump down to verse 20, and I want to show you something else. "Children, be obedient in the Lord," or "unto the Lord." And I think it will make sense. Then if you will jump over to chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we are to be a faithful servant in the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse 7, and underline the word "in the Lord." And one last one, and then we'll dive into the study. In chapter 4, verse 17, we are to minister the thing that God has given to us in the Lord. The ministry that I have received in chapter 4, verse 17, is in the Lord. That's the key. That if I'm a new man, and God has given me new clothing of His righteousness, and His presence is now in my life, then it is the Lord that's going to help me to be the woman that He wants me to be. It's going to be the Lord that helps me to be the man that He wants me to be. It's going to be the Lord that helps me to be a child that's able to submit. And it's going to be the Lord that makes me a willing father and a faithful parent in the Lord. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. Because you're going to listen to what the world's telling you to do, to stand up for who you are, that you don't need to take authority, that you just sit back and do nothing. And all of a sudden, God says, no, I have an order and a government. And God knew what He was doing. If we had our way, we would let every woman rule, and every guy would lay in a couch with a remote control and eat potato chips. God, knowing that, said, if I let women rule, they're not going to have to look to me because they're so good at what they do. And guys, if they just kind of flop around and submit, they have no problem doing that. But if I make man rule, he's not going to be able to unless he calls on my strength because he fears man. And he's so worried about his own respect. And there's no way in the world a woman is ever going to submit unless she has seen Jesus Christ and she cries out for the heart of God. And so it forces you back to God. So I'm not talking to you tonight about what you can do or how good you are or how equal we are. I want to talk to you tonight about being in God's will, doing what God has put before us. And it's in that that the blessings and the freedom come in my life. So in Christ, I can submit. In Christ, I can rule. And so the question once again. So let me give you a couple things to think about tonight. Number one, what submission does not mean? Submission is not just for wives. The first thing I need to understand, that according to James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. So when I look at the passage and understand what God is saying, submission is part of God's work. We find that though Christ was equal to God, he humbled himself and became what? A servant of God. He became a servant that we would be able to be born again. Though I am over my wife, I am under God. Though my wife is under me, she is over my children. Though I am over my employees, yet I realize that God is over me. So I must come to understand the importance of this word submission, which this generation hates. We hate two words with a passion. One is submission, the other one is authority. No one tells me what to do. Well, God is telling you what to do tonight. And secondly, it will be all about submission for the rest of your life. If you're a husband, you're going to have to learn to submit. You're going to have to learn to go God's way in your life. If you're a wife, you're going to have to learn to submit. If you're a child, you're going to have to learn to submit. So we find, according to James in chapter 4, that once again, that submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So in that life of submission, Satan is going to somewhat leave you alone. It's in the rebellion. It's in the resistance. It's in the fighting God that you're going to be righteously beat up by Satan. So the first thing I come to understand about why tonight I desire to submit to God in my devotions, in my prayer life, in my relationship with God, is because I want to destroy the kingdom of Satan. And when I am not submitting to Christ, I'm submitting to the authority of Satan. And the authority of Satan is rebellion, and it is resisting, and it is fighting. And God took care of all that in my past. I'm no longer at war with God. So God and I are a majority. So if you fight submitting to authority, you are fighting against God, and your life is not going to be blessed. So there's a place that you need to come to tonight. In Ephesians 5:21, and you don't need to turn to these, I'll tell you where to turn. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. So the reason why I'm to submit is because I fear God in my life. If I am walking in pride, unwilling to yield my authority or unwilling to come under someone else's authority, then I'm prideful. And God is able to humble those who are exalted in their own eyes. He took Lucifer, threw him out of heaven. So God is able to work in my life in ways that I would never even expect because I'm unwilling to go his way. And then I read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto your elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So in humility or in submission, God will fight for you. And I need to know that. If I take the humble way, God will fight my battles. If you humble yourself as a wife, God will fight your battles. He'll teach you how to duck so he can hit your husband. Honey, duck right now, and you just kind of bend over in prayer, and your husband gets blasted. And you learn the secret of how to change your husband's life through the power of God. But if you are constantly fighting him, constantly bickering with him, constantly resisting him, then you're not giving him that place of authority that he needs to learn to grow. Let him make a mistake and look to Christ and what he's saying. So, first of all, submission is not just for wives. Secondly, submission is nothing to do with equality. In other words, we find that God and Christ were equal. We find, according to the book of Galatians, that there's no difference between man or woman. There's nothing in position, but in the place of authority, there is great difference. So when I look at a woman, she is not under me, she is equal to me in equality, but in the place of government, God has placed me over the church. Not a woman, a man. And there's a reason for that. So when I look at my wife, I don't look at her down. I look at her equal. She is as good and as great and as gracious as I am to her and vice versa. And we are sinners saved by grace. And so sometimes men have the ability to not respect women. And that's wrong. God used the women in powerful ways, Phoebe and Dorcas and all the great women of the Bible, because they were submissive to the Lord. And then number three, I find that submission is not against God's word. And so if your husband is wanting you to sin, you don't have to. And if your husband wants you to become a punching bag, you shouldn't stay around. And if your husband wants you to take drugs, you need to leave him. Not divorce him, separate from him. In other words, submission is not taking what is unbiblical in your life. It is looking to Jesus Christ, and there's a reason for it. And so many, many women have been so brutally hurt because they have felt that they need to submit to the abuse, and you do not. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you need to submit to that type of abuse. You need to submit, it says here, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor does it say that you're to submit to another man. It says you're to submit to your husband. In other words, you're not to be going around submitting to all these brothers. Hey, God told me that we're to go to bed. Well, I guess I got to. No, you're not to submit to brothers. You're to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you that are married, then you need to submit to your husband as unto the Lord, or as fit unto the Lord. And then also submission is given to the wife. And this is so important. And who gave it to the wife? God. So husbands do not have the authority to say, you got to submit. No, that came from God. If they don't submit, God needs to work on their life. You have no right to begin to dictate to your wife. You can encourage her. You can show her. But she will answer to God for being right or not right before God. If she chooses not to submit, then God's going to deal in her life. And there's going to be sorrow and pain and agony, and things are not going to run smooth in the home. If she surrenders to God, then she's out of the way, and God can work on the family, and God can work on the children, and she begins to grow. And so God is saying that this came from God. And it's not for husbands to go around and say, you're to submit to me because I want you to. No, you are to submit to God and to your husband because God said it. And that's important, because sometimes we find that husbands are not worthy to be submitted to. But I'm to submit to God, and God will change their life. And so the strength that God gives me is I want to be in God's will. As a woman, you want to be in God's will because you want to be blessed. So what submission isn't? But let me tell you what it is. Submission does mean, and this is what it means to arrange under. It means to place yourself under. It means to fashion yourself under your husband. Now, some of you are dying right now because I even said the S word. You can't believe I'm doing this. Well, I can't believe it either, but you need to hear it. And I'm the guy that can talk about it. My wife's not here, so I got great authority tonight. We're going to sell this tape, too, along with the husband one. But once again, what it means basically is that I have the ability to yield. It's not something that I have to do. It's something that I need to do. It needs to be a willingness of my heart. It can't be out of resentment. It has to be unto the Lord. What do we read? Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So here's the question. Are you submitting for the glory of God? Are you doing it for the power of God and to be a light within your family? Well, Steve, there's issues. I'm not talking about issues. Well, you don't understand him. Well, I'm sure I don't. But neither does my wife understand me. But that's not the point. What did God say? Well, we don't like this part of the Bible. I know. And I know I'd like to pass it by, but we can't. Well, why are you spending so much time on it? Can't we just move on? No, we're going to finish the study. Well, I want to go. No, you need to sit here and submit and listen. Well, I don't want to. You need to. Why? Because God wants to bless you. And when you come to understand that you're doing this thing, not for your husband, but for God, that you accepted this responsibility as a Christian to align your life in the heart of God and to do it God's way. Next week, the men are going to die. Flat die. I'd like to be able to say, the guys don't come back, they're not going to go to heaven, but I can't say that. Because guys do not lead. The women run the church. The women have 600 women sign up in one day. Guys just flakes. Just were so selfish. So into ourselves. So worried about ourselves that we can't even see and we become bitter. And I want to talk about that next week about how you lose heart for your wife. Because you lost the friend. You're no longer being the example that God wants. And so it means to yield your performance to another. You mean I need to yield my life to this guy? Well, you married him. Well, no. He was so good looking. Blue eyes. Hey, you got to submit to those blue eyes now. Well, those are killer eyes. I know. You married those baby blue eyes. Now you need to submit to them. Well, I didn't understand that. How many of you are not married? Listen, don't look at the eyes. It might be baby blue with a gun. Can you submit to this guy? When you know it's the Lord, just picture him bald, fat, and ugly, and say, can I still like this guy? If the answer is yes, and you can waddle down the road with him 20 years from now, then you got the right one. But if you're marrying his eyes or his hair, guess what? When he says to you, hey, give me all the money, babe. Go get a job. What? And you come in and say, Pastor Steve, hey, the Bible says submit. Well, we're going to go find another church. Are you going to find another God? You see, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. Well, I just don't like the way God made me. I wish I was a guy right now. No, you don't. God made you, and God made you with the ability to do what He wants you to do. It says it is a military term. It means to come under rank. It doesn't mean that that person's better. A private can be better than a general sometimes, but it means that there's a certain rank. And it means to give up your desire in order, and here it is, to accomplish a goal or a purpose. To a concept or putting oneself under, not the compulsion, but by willingness, the attitude of respect and the willingness to follow. Well, I don't have a respect for my husband. Well, God needs to help you. I don't have a willingness to yield my life. Then you're in trouble. Because the Bible says very simply, that it has nothing to do with personality. It has everything to do with the will of God within your life. And one of the reasons why is the purpose of submission. The third thing, the purpose, and I think this will kind of make a little bit more sense now. The purpose of submission, and let me give you four things that you need to jot down, women, in your mind. Number one, the reason why there's the purpose of submission is to reflect Christ. Now, this is a whole new concept for some of you. This guy, this husband, this guy, this bum, why doesn't he smile? Why doesn't he move? Hey, number one, you're looking rather than being. So number one rule in your life is you are to reflect Christ. And so we read in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, and check this out, as it is fit in the Lord. So you know what it's like to have sheets that fit on a mattress. It's so nice to make the bed. It means that when you're submitting, you and God are going to fit like a glove. So the first thing I find is when I begin to reflect Christ, when I find my place, I begin to reflect, I begin to shine. It says that Esther soaked in oil for a whole year. And when she finally stood before the king, she stood out. And she smelled out above everybody else. And she took the cake. And she became a great queen. But she prepared herself. So, first of all, women, do not become depressed. Do not become disheartened. Learn to understand, first of all, that you are to reflect Christ in your relationship as a Christian woman before God. not even being married, just as a Christian lady, you are to reflect the glory of God. So when you get married, never lose that concept. If you've lost that concept because of him, then I will say to you, you took your eyes off Jesus Christ. You are never, ever to take your eyes off Jesus Christ. So let me make this point. In 31 years of my marriage, I have watched my wife faithfully every morning, 6 o'clock, up with her Bible. I've only seen her miss maybe one or two or three times in some 31 years of our marriage. So because of that, no matter where I go or how I'm acting or what mood I'm in, she's always reflecting Christ. You say, well, I don't like this submission thing. Let me give you just a little hint. How did Abraham become so wealthy? If it wasn't for Sarah submitting herself to her husband because Abraham said, you lie, and she was obedient in that moment, Abimelech took her, and then God woke Abimelech up in the middle of the night and said, you are going to sleep with a married woman, and you're a dead man. And all of a sudden, Abimelech said, I didn't know. And God said, because of the integrity of your heart, I know. And so he came back to Abraham and said, here's your wife, here's all this stuff, here's all this money, get out of here. So the moment that submission begins to happen, there's a richness and a blessing that God will begin to flow through your life in a brand new way. I believe that many women are not growing in Christ because they're unwilling to submit to the Lordship of Christ and to the one that God gave them, their husband. And so we see the purpose is to reflect Christ. In Ephesians 5:22, wife, submit yourself unto your own husbands as how? Unto the Lord. So this is a God thing. This is not a husband thing. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. So the example, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be subject to their own husband. And so I am to reflect Jesus Christ within my life. So am I shining in my home? No, I want to kill everybody. Am I rejoicing? No, I'm complaining and murmuring. Am I happy? No, I just went out of this marriage. Time out. Let's go back to the day that you got saved. Did you ask Christ into your heart? Yes. Were you happy? Yes. What happened? I got married to this bum. No. You took your eyes off Christ. Regardless what he does, you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Regardless of what your children are doing, you got to keep your eyes on Christ. One of the great things my daughter told me one day is, I said, I can't believe what you're putting me through. And she looked at me and she said, you always blame me for your Christian walk. And I just looked at her and said, you know something? I hate you. And she was so right. Show me in the Bible where it says that anywhere I'm to take my eyes off Christ for any circumstance. No. I'm to have the peace of God that rules my heart because I'm to trust God by faith. And if my husband goes this way, I'm to look to Christ. If my kids go this way, I'm to look to Christ. If my mother-in-law goes this way, I'm to look to Christ. If my mother-in-law is coming, I'm really to look to Christ. What can I say? Are you looking, ladies, to Christ? I mean, do you love Christ? No, I can't see Christ because it's bum. No. No. You see, Jesus was able to look at Judas and see the Father. Look right past him. You're able to look over the shoulder and see Christ. Next week, the husband. This week, the wife. And so you're saying that the wife has to be a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. She cannot stand before God and say, you know, I was just a drunken alcoholic because my husband drove me crazy. No, you can't do that. Because Jesus will say, what did you do with my son? You didn't trust him. You didn't love him. You got out of the Word because of soap. You got out of the Word because you want to hang out with the girlfriends and you want to go to all the parks. And those are wonderful things to do after you have a relationship with God. And so some of you have taken away that relationship because of the busyness of your house and the busyness of the family and the busyness. But God once again will say that he has been faithful and you have become much encumbered instead of trusting God. But Steve, it's so hard. Of course it's hard. And it will get harder. And there will be more children and more responsibility. But Now you're single thinking, man, I don't know if I want to get married. Good. Think it through. Think it through big time. Because you find a whole life changing. And this guy, maybe blue eyes, you got to submit to. And you don't really know what's in his mind, in his heart. So number one, to reflect Christ. Number two, under purpose of submission, to avoid chaos. I think the second great reason why I'm to submit, the purpose of submission is to avoid chaos within my life. It says in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's very clear. In other words, there can't be two people in authority within the home. I know you want it, but God doesn't want you to have it. Well, what happens if, no, you need to get out of the way and let God deal with your husband. Most men are not being dealt with because the wife is in the way. You get out of the way and God, I promise you, will deal with your husband in ways that you have been praying all of your life. That's not saying that you got to give up all the finances and make all these mistakes, but it is saying that you need to trust God and believe God and encourage. Most men make the greatest mistake because they don't feel respected. And most women do not respect men. They lose respect. And so the only way that you can keep the respect for your husband is you need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And you need to remember that you were a gift to him. Boy, was that a bad gift. No, you were a gift. And he's a gift to you. And God knew what you needed before you got it. Well, I sure don't need this. God knew that he would be sick right now. And God knew that you would be pregnant right now. And God knew that you would be barely making it. But are you going to trust God? Or are you going to walk away from God? In other words, it has nothing to do, but everything to do with a relationship. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there is the direct authority. God over Christ, Christ over the church. Once again the man, then the woman. So there's a clear distinction within authority. So within our home, we sit down, we talk about the kids, and then we make a decision, and I do what I need to do. But Gail gives me that freedom. Yes, we buck. You know what she's like. You know what I'm like. Can you imagine both of us in the same room having a fight? But I guarantee you I'm going to win. Because I have to. And it means that she might start crying, but then I got to repent and I got to back up and I got to say, then she says, okay, that just freaks me out because now I got to do this thing for God. And now I'm looking at her, seeing God and see the way that Christ died for the church. And I'm not dying here. And so it's a whole new relationship. I'm not to be bitter with her. She's not to challenge me. She can say, we need to look at this thing. We can talk about it. But when it comes down to the final decision, this is how we're going to do it. And if I make a mistake, she has to back up and let me make the mistake. And then she can't say between her eyebrows, what an idiot. And you know what I'm talking about, gals. You have certain looks that mean certain things. Like, oh, I can't believe him. He thinks I'm going to submit. He's crazy. Or when a woman says, fine. What does that mean, fine? What in the world does that mean, fine? Does that mean it's over? Does that mean the fight's over? Does that mean you got more ammunition? What does that mean, fine? That doesn't compute with me. Or, hey, let's pray. And then they say, fine, you pray. What's up with that? What happened to you? And I say to her, you don't want to pray? I'll agree with you. No, you pray. No, and we're fighting again. Man, I can't believe it. Now we don't both want to go before God, and we can't wait to get away, and now the house is too small. Well, someone has to give. So the husband, he needs to die. The wife needs to look beyond this guy and see Christ. And then God just needs to speak and say, you're both wrong and I'm right. Repent. And then the Bible says these two are reconciled at the cross of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself. Well, no. Then a lack of humility will destroy the marriage. See, what destroys marriage is pride every single time. Avoid chaos. And then, thirdly, to build up. It says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. In other words, you gals are to be an absolute blessing. My wife is a blessing. She lets me go. She lets me minister. I told her tonight I got to take off for 4 days. She said, fine. And, you know, of course, she hangs out with all the gals. But there's an understanding that she has come by my side. Now, check this out. Not for me to help her in her ministry, but for her to help me in my ministry. You see, once again, God has tailor-made her to help me. And God desires that I would lead. And when you have a church this size, you have to have a great wife, because the wife is everything to the man. Everything that I am is because of God. She prays for me. It's been the woman's ministry that's held this thing together. It's been her prayers and her fasting that has got me through my sicknesses. It is her life that has gone before God consistently more than my consistency. I know that. And I'll bless her name for it. But once again, in our home, for some reason, God said, Stephen, you rule, and Gail, you submit. Now the question is, do I rule as Christ, and does she submit as unto the Lord? And so, why is she married to me? To get her own ministry? To build her own life? To build her own relationship with people around her? Or is it to come by my side and to make me great? You see, God knew that there was something missing. And God knew that I needed someone that could pick me up and push me on and tell me that I could make it through this difficult time. She has been that. And I bless her for that. She's been a wonderful, virtuous woman. And through the difficult times, I've been able to minister to her, but we're talking about her tonight, not me. So we'll leave it there. And then we find once again that we read in Genesis that God brought her. And I thought about this tonight. It's kind of funny on the way over. I thought, you know, God made men from the dirt. You ever think about that? And God made women from the man. Well, no wonder we're dirty and we make a mess every place we go. So I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. Anyway. And then, not only to submit, but to protect. I think of one of the great things of 1 Timothy 2:11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Oh, there he goes again, Pastor Steve. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. It's just God's order. In creation, God made it that way. So you're fighting God. And Adam was not deceived. And now we see the reason. For the woman being deceived was in transgression. I believe that Adam did worse than Eve, because Adam ate with knowledge, which was even worse than being deceived. And so I don't look at the woman and say, well, we got all this because of women. No, no, Adam, you didn't have to eat. And if you didn't eat, we probably wouldn't be here. But because you didn't have the strength to say no, we're here, you idiot. So, I don't know if I can say that over the pulpit, but I'll say it tonight. Adam, what a wimp, you know? You know, just, God help us. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:34, he talks about, let the women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And as they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak out. And in culture, it would be one woman yelling across the church, hey, George, what did he mean? Hey, wait till you get home, ask the question. So Paul was protecting. He's saying, we don't want our women to get hurt. I don't want Gail to get hurt. So you come against Gail, you come against me. And I think I need to protect my wife. I need to stand by my wife. And if she's wrong, I need to correct her. If I'm wrong, I need to repent. Or sometimes she'll get something in a letter or something. I'll say, take it before God. There might be some truth to it. And so I need to make sure that she's hearing from God and in a situation that she can do what God wants her to do. And then lastly, you know that it says that you might win others. You remember in Peter? And I just want to end here. He says very simply in 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands. You kind of get the hang of the study tonight? What is that word? Tell me. Say it out loud. It's like a guy saying, commit. We're just, commit. Hey, here's my promise. What's a promise ring? Marry her. What's this promise thing? You know, go jump off a cliff. You know what? A promise. No. Make a commitment. Well, this is a promise ring because I don't want to make a commitment right now. Oh, you wimp. You know, dump him. If some guy says, here's a promise ring. R.A. Torrey was waiting for a guy to take him somewhere, and the guy got late. And R.A. Torrey said, well, why were you late? He said, I was praying to make sure I should take you. And Torrey said, I don't want you taking me. He said, well, why not? God told me to. He said, well, God might tell you not to. Pick me up. In other words, don't be like that. Make a commitment. I'll be there. Submit. Oh, help me. Likewise, subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also without the word may be won. So if your husbands are not saved, you're going to win them by your example. While they behold your chastened conversation, your manner of life, coupled with fear, because you fear God, you're willing to surrender. Whose adorning let it not be Ross's or all the other ones, outward, but the inwardness. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and which is not corrupt, the ornaments of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. For after this manner in old times the holy women, also who trusted, and here it is, trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own husbands. And I think that's the key, gals. And I don't know much about this submission thing of a wife to a husband, but I know what it's like to be in submission to the Lord, and submission to Pastor Chuck, and submission to other brothers over my life. But I'll say this, in this one verse, it says, after this manner, in old times, the holy women who trusted in God, they adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And I think, when I look at this whole thing of submission, this is what I want to challenge you with. Some of you are not growing. Some of you are exactly where you've been for years. Unhappy in your marriage. Unhappy because you're looking for a companion. Unhappy because things are not going the way you think they should go. And you see everything wrong. And Satan has set you up because you've taken your eyes off of the lover of your life, Jesus. And I just want to encourage you women, put your eyes on Jesus Christ. And if you marry a guy and he dies of cancer, you're going to be serving him. If you marry a guy and he dumps you, you're going to be serving Jesus Christ. If you marry a guy and he's a blessing, you're going to be serving Jesus Christ. If you have children and they stay home and are a blessing, you're going to be serving God. If they leave and hurt your heart, they're going to be serving God. You're going to be fine no matter what happens because God will defend you. But I don't think that's happening today. Because I believe that you've been sold a bill of goods. This horrible word, submission. Well, like it or not, if I'm unwilling to submit to the authority of God, then God's going to deal with me. Father, we ask tonight that, Lord, these precious ladies, that God, that you would make sense of this study somehow to them. That they would see just a new vision within their life of the authority of God. That it's not something that you're asking them to give up in a sense of who they are as a person, but a willingness within their life to be right with you. And so, Lord, as they set before you tonight, submission is the hardest thing because it doesn't make sense. And we can see the mistakes they're making. But, Lord, that's your problem. Lord, we need to trust you. We need to believe that you're big enough to speak to these men, to speak to our children, to speak to our girlfriends, that, Lord, that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Lord, how women long for companionship, and how loneliness fills their minds. But I pray that you would show them a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And how their minds oftentimes just run so rapid that you would teach them to bring every thought under captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, God, that you would make them wise to the ploy of the enemy. That you would show them that they're special. Lord, guys, oftentimes we don't show it. Father, you can always show them. You can hold them. You can hug them. And Father, you can teach us how to take care of them. But I pray the greatest need within a woman's life is the security and the love that only you can give. So in our failures, in our shortcomings, would you be their strength? Would you rise within their life, within their heart, that they might see Jesus Christ behind us and over us and in us? And that, God, that you might give victory and keep us from making mistakes. Lord, we surrender our lives to you tonight. And we understand that because of Adam and Eve unwilling to submit, they lost paradise. Oh, God, we're no different tonight. We can make excuses why we don't submit. But the bottom line is that, Lord, it can become a tremendous tool in the Master's hand when a woman shines for the glory of God. No man will be able to resist it. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?